Welcome to the FaithBridge Men's Podcast. This teaching was recorded live on February 18, 2025, during the third week of the series, My Brother's Keeper, a study in 1 and 2 Timothy, taught by Bible teacher Danny Hannon. Danny takes us through Timothy chapter 4 in this message titled, Servant Before Brother.
Man, I'm glad to be back. I feel like I haven't been with you guys in a teaching opportunity in a while. So just a quick recap of where we have been so far. I know Pratik covered us on what it is to be have the one Savior. And then, of course, Ian last week took us through the qualifications of leadership, right, for us to be overseers and deacons. But what I love about what Paul is doing in this series is he's getting to a point to basically saying there is no leadership apart from him. Right, apart from Christ, being rooted in Christ, and what that looks like. And this one is we have to establish ourselves in a training regimen. That's what I want to focus on today is godliness, a training program for godliness. Like, what does that look like? So to set this up tonight, I really feel like we ought to look at some examples of high-quality training. So can you play that video for us just to kind of set us in the mood?
Take a deep breath and don't panic. February 1st is just around the corner. The New Year's Army will vanish, and you will have the gym bag to yourself. Crowded gyms can be frustrating, but let's be real. They're here to work on themselves. Big thumbs up for that. We are not shaming new people, and we are not judging them. We are just observing.
Yes.
And maybe getting a few ideas for our own workouts.
If you made this video, don't raise your hand,
like
okay?
Something
just
turned
be anonymous.
Upside down. Maybe she got engaged. This man is doing
this
one
is
of the hardest exercises
guys.
You can imagine. He is on his third set of begging his wife to spend their savings on a hair transplant in Turkey. And he's definitely going for a new personal best here. It's unbelievable how time is flying by. 2026 is only two more leg days away.
He's only two leg days away.
The best thing about this exercise is that you don't have to do it.
Oh no, don't do it. Yep, he did it.
Have you ever thought about squatting your friend like this just to see what could go wrong?
Aaron, do you have any of this in your gym?
Now you don't need to think about it anymore, because now we know. Who's gonna carry the boats and the logs? Not this guy. He is training to beat David Goggins' pull-up record. It's not perfect, but at least he didn't join a CrossFit gym. Stay
hard.
Knocked
I picked it for you.
Out. Damn. I've never seen this before.
People always say, you snooze, you lose. But they don't know that when you take a nappy, you are happy.
This is great.
One guy lifting and three other guys spotting. Or is it the other way around? Excellent form, perfect lift, all him. Believe it or not, but here is a 20-year-old natural oil vegan man who just joined the gym on January 1st.
Okay.
Here is the one and only El Campeon, CEO of Eagle Lifting. Who can match his intensity? Nobody. This guy isn't training to failure, he is binge-watching to failure until his battery dies. But hey, no judgment here. Whatever keeps you going, man. Leg day sucks enough, so why not make it enjoyable? Why wait for a cheat day when you can cheat during the workout? New year, same cravings, and new toppings on the pizza.
Okay, I think we can end on that one.
Carbs won't turn into fat if you wash them down with Diet Coke. That's science.
With Diet Coke, yes, it's all good to Diet Coke. Okay, anyways, you guys get the point, right? We're going to talk about training. Good training and bad training, as we've seen. But let's just jump right into Scripture. Looking at, we're in 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 6, guys. All right, here's what Paul has written to his child in the faith, Timothy. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. So what is he talking about? He says, if you put these things before the brothers, right? Well, he's saying, don't follow silly myths, like irreverent myths. Don't fool yourself with these kinds of things. Look at the next verse, verse 7. It keeps going. He says, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. Right? Train yourself for godliness. Don't believe some of these crazy, ridiculous things. Like we just saw, like when somebody's talking about physical training in the gym, like, let's be careful who we take fitness advice from, right? Like, don't fall into some of these traps from the spiritual standpoint. And I say this to share a story once. We all have those guys that were probably really good friends. They really are great friends. I have a friend from, I've known for, gosh, Erica and I both were friends with him, probably 30 years. He's in the study. I'm not sure if he's here tonight. What I love, there was a moment where, if you can believe it, before Jenny and I got married, she actually broke up with me once. Can you believe that? Like, why? Why would Jenny break up with me? It doesn't make any sense, but she did. Naturally, I was heartbroken. I was crushed, to put it bluntly. And you know, when you're 21 years old and, you know, the love of your life walks out on you, you immediately call one of your friends. And what does he do? He brings me a bottle of Jack and a roll of Copenhagen. This is going to fix it all. Right? Wrong. I say that because, look, he was being the best friend that he could. Right? And the reality is we were both broken. Right? Neither of us were not trained in godliness to know how to respond when crisis hit. Right? So the best we could do is, this is what we thought. Hey, I'm going to step in and be my buddy's friend, the best friend that he can be. But I'm talking about tonight being a brother's keeper, right? That's what we were not trained for. Now, what I love is that he's part of our studies. He has been. He is becoming a brother's keeper, just like I did years ago through my process, where now we know if something were to happen in my love life, which God forbid that wouldn't, but that would not be the solution we do now, right? Because now we've become a brother's keeper. Okay, but there's a journey, there's a process that we have to go through in order to get to that. And Paul writes in verse 8, he says this to set us up for it. He says, while bodily training is of some value, we just saw a video, right? That's of great value, right? While bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promises for the present life and also for the life to come. So he's saying, there is value in training your body, right? But if there's value in that, there is so much more value in godly training. And that's what we're going to get into tonight. That's the thing. So you have to ask yourself, like, why do we train? Why do we train? Training is everywhere in our life, right? So people ask me, like, Danny, why in God's name do you run thousands of miles? It may not look like it, but I do. I can run a really long way. I love running. It's fantastic. It's awesome. My buddy Jason's laughing over there. I love it because he knows that I'm crazy. But I can run 1,000 miles. Why do I run 1,000 miles? Because when the zombies show up, I'm faster than you. It's that simple, right? I can outrun you, and so I'll live longer. That's the thought. I'm kidding. But it makes sense, right? Now, Sean, where are you, brother? So before you went into trauma surgery, I know you have another one, but before your first save as a trauma surgeon, how many runs or practices or surgeries did you do on tissue before you actually had your first save as a trauma surgeon? Thousands, right? Thousands. Because the moment that body shows up out of the ambulance, you have to know what to do and respond, right? So you've trained and you trained and you trained and you trained. I have another friend of mine who is a combat controller. If you guys are in the military, you know what that would be. That's for the Air Force, Special Forces side. And I remember asking him once, we used to roll together, and I'm like, hey, just out of curiosity, how many rounds did you shoot in training? And he's like, when he was in the States on station, he would go through anywhere from 30 to 50,000 rounds a week they would shoot. Okay. Now, when they were in country on mission, he would do about 10,000 rounds. That's still crazy. Like, some of us are like, damn, I have a hard time doing 200 rounds in one sitting, right? And he's doing thousands and thousands. Why? Because when he needs the one shot that counts, it's got to be perfect, right? So you shoot and you shoot and you shoot. Just like Ian will tell you his stories of when he didn't share it last week, but I spent some time with him this a couple weekends ago, and he was sharing with Chris Clark and I that they would actually use sheep. I know you're like, what? Yeah, they would shoot sheep and then bring them back to life over and over. And you're like, oh my God, this poor sheep. Come on, over human life, let's be honest, that's the best tissue that they can use. But they would shoot the sheep, take it down, to bring it back to full health, because they knew when they were in country. And he shares a story about the second they land on one target, before the mission even began, one of his teammates was shot 3 times. And before he could actually do anything on the mission, they had to treat their buddy. And you can't be thinking about going, okay, what did we do in class? Like, what was that? Okay, pull out your manual. You had to instinctively know, right? So we train and we train and we train. And he helps companies do the same thing. You ought to think to yourself, like, from a training perspective, companies should think about incorporating that. Why do we do fire drills and active shooter drills and all this stuff so that we're not just standing around twiddling our thumbs when something happens? It is no different with godliness, right? If Paul says there is some value in bodily training, so if I'm saying there is value in everything I just said, so if that has some value to Paul, how much more value does godliness training have? So, sure, I absolutely love that my wife notices my running legs, and she's like, ooh, babe, nice quads, right? It gets weird when my buddy Matt says it, okay? But, hey, you know, it's we like to be admired sometimes. Sure, I get it. But at the end of the day, that's not why we train, right? Even though Gen Zs, I don't know. We have some Gen Zs in here. I don't get it. Like, you guys at the gym, anybody work out at a gym? I'm gonna call it out. It cracks me up. I actually made eye contact with a guy who's standing there, like, flexion, doing this number, looking in the mirror, and I'm looking at him. We lock eyes, and he's still like, and I'm like, he doesn't get that I'm actually secretly judging him right now, right? He doesn't, but, so we don't train to be admired. That's not really what, some of us may, but we don't really, that's not really why we do it. So it's the same way. I'm not training in godliness. He's like, man, look how wise Danny is in the Bible. Look how wise he's doing it. No, there is reasons why we go through what we go through. We put in certain disciplines. There is a reason why. There's a method to our madness. So why do we train? Here we go. You ready for this? Why do we train? We train so that we have a role to serve. Okay? We train to serve a role. I love this. Okay? AI, eat your heart out. I came up with this in my own brain. All right? And everybody's like, ooh, your acronyms on AI. No, this is great. We have a role. All of us want to serve a role, don't we? We want to know that we have purpose, that we have value, right? Well, here you go. It's super easy. Take a picture of it if you want. The first thing is that we need to respond to a crisis. Like, that's the beginning, right? We train so that, like we just talked about with Sean, in the spiritual world, it's the same thing, right? When there is an issue at home that I get punched with, or something shocked me, or maybe there's a loss in your family, you have a crisis. Your brother has a crisis. We need to know how to respond to that crisis. So we got to train, right? We have to be in certain, and I'll get to what training looks like. The next one is overcome adversity. Guys, life, it's kind of like with the endure trials. It's the same thing. Like, this life is about moving through adversities, overcoming the adversities that life throws at you, right? The next one is we have to lead others well. We go through training so that we can lead, right? Eventually, we are all going to be called to leadership of some kind. You are leading somebody. Somebody may be following you that you don't even know, right? There are people who have said to me, Danny, I've been watching how you live. Oh, man, I hope I'm doing okay. Like, there are people that watch you. So how are you leading, right? And the last one is endure the trials, as James says. We want to endure the trials. So remember, we train so that we have a role, so that we can serve a role. Okay. Now, I want to lean specifically. Some of these, keep this up right now, but some of these have to do with me, right? Like, okay, I train so that I can overcome the adversities that life throws me. I train so that I can endure whatever season I'm in, or if it's a hard time or something that we're going through, I do that. But a couple of these, as you can see, are really also about my brothers and being my brother's keeper, and that's what I want to lean into. So like we just talked about, responding to a brother's crisis, right? Now that my buddy and I are far more mature in our discipleship, like I said, we would respond very differently whenever we got hit with something like that today, right? That is still a crisis moment, right? For me, it was. And then the other one is that I want to lean into is leading others. So what do I mean by leading others well? Well, let's look at verse 11 and 12 that Paul says, command and teach these things. Let's focus on that. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Command and teach. Brothers, if we are out of shape, can we command and teach? If we are out of shape, It's no different than you. We were laughing at those videos. I know there was more to come. There's more funny stuff. We've all seen it, right? Like, there's a guy at the gym that I work out at, but I really wish I had a picture. And bless his heart if he's here tonight, and I would love to connect with you to show you how to do this machine, right? But y'all know the self-assisted pull-up machine, right? So you get on the pull-up machine, and you step on the bar that reduces your weight, right? So he puts his little pin to reduce the weight. He steps on it, so now he's hanging, and he's stepping on this bar. Now, does anybody know how to use this machine properly? What? It's a pull-up machine, so what are you going to do? A pull-up, right? This is what you should be doing. I've sat and watched it. Yeah, it's not you, DT. DT and I work out together. I promise, it's not you. I'd point this out. But you may have seen the guy. But he's on the machine, and this is what he's doing. He's doing squats, reverse squats, on a machine that's meant to be self-assisted for pull-ups, right? So my point is I'm not going to go up to this guy and be like, hey, I've been watching how you work out. Can you give me some advice on this machine? Right? You see where I'm going with this? It's the same thing, that if we are out of shape or if we are training badly, they're not going to come to us and ask for our advice. We can't lead others well if we are out of shape. Okay? So here's my challenge to y'all, and for you to both be asking yourself and asking of yourself of who's following you. Here's the thing. If you know that you wouldn't hire a trainer that really doesn't know what he's doing in the gym, then don't walk in the footsteps of somebody who's not walking in the dust of Christ. Does that make sense? Don't be walking behind somebody who is not walking behind Christ. You need to know who you're following, right? Just like you need to be asking yourself, who are you following? Now, I am not saying that in order to be a brother, you have to be healthy. I'm not saying you got to come in here and have yourself fixed. Just know that don't be walking out saying, man, I got this all figured out, without doing some self-assessment. Say, am I healthy? Should people be following me, or do I still need to be in a walking relationship with somebody who is guiding me? Because the truth is, we all need to be walking behind somebody and in front of somebody, right? So wherever you are in your journey of faith, bring the guy who is one step behind you and bring them with you as you're going on to the next one. Just know where you are in the journey, okay? Because like I said, at some level, you are leading someone. So we need to ask ourselves these things. So back to when I'm walking with a brother or if I'm trying to lead somebody. I've got a friend of mine. Well, this will be the perfect example for this. I've got a friend who is actually crazier than I am. Matt, are you in here, bro? Matt McCarthy? I don't think you made it tonight. He's way more nuts than I am, okay? Like, I like running lots of miles. His furthest race he's ever run is a 5K. He did a triathlon, okay? But other than running, I think his wife was telling my wife that the furthest he's ever done is a 5K in a race setting, okay? Do you know what he's doing in May? It's called Cocodona. Anybody know what Cocodona is? 250 miles over 5 days. What? Like, okay. Now, I don't know if he's crazier or if I am, for what I'm about to tell you is what's happening next. So, now, he is trained. This dude is running, like, hundreds of miles a week. Like, he's going to be just fine. But he came to me and he's like, Danny, listen, man. We're allowed to have these things called pacers. Would you be willing to meet me at mile 75 and carry me in? Now, I've had people who've jumped on with me at like mile 20 in a marathon. He wants me to jump in at mile 75 with another 175 to go. Like, this isn't like, hey, carry me to the finish line, buddy. Like, so he gets a belt buckle. I get a, hey, thanks, bro. And what's worse is I'm considering it. I'm actually considering it, but here's my point, guys, is because he's asked me, he's like, Danny, I could really use you, because at that mile marker, there's something that happens in an athlete's mind where they actually can get disoriented, so when they pick up a pacer, my job is literally just to run alongside him and make sure that he's staying on pace. Now, the truth is there's going to be a lot of walking at that point, right? I mean, you have 5 days, right? So you can do the math, or 6 days. Anyways, so, but it really is just to guide him, but here's where I'm getting with it. If I am not trained myself, like, I've got work I have to do in order to be that for him that he's asked me to be, okay? If I'm not trained myself, what have I done to him? I've become a dead weight to him. Not only am I not able to guide him and get him where he needs to go, now I've become a burden that he's having to carry, and I'm weighing him down, okay? So, like the shirts, I love this because Sean noted it when we were talking about this earlier. Who's got the shirt on? Sonny, can you stand up for me? Okay, so y'all have seen the back of the shirt, just turn around. So the back of the shirt, what ends up happening is we've been called to carry our brother, But if we are out of shape and unhealthy and we're thinking that we can lead somebody and be that for somebody else, what ends up happening? They have to carry us, right? So we all have to do our part. You're good, brother. Thank you. It's like, how long do I have to stand up here? We all have to do our part to ensure that I'm carrying my weight in this relationship. I'm not transferring my burden onto somebody else, right? Like, so I need to be able to come alongside him. He's got to run his race. Matt's got to do it. I can't carry him. I'm just as an encouragement as and a guide and making sure, like, hey, this path goes this way. Like, we have to do some land nav work. I'm like, okay, well, I got to check my compass and do this, make sure you're staying on course, make sure that I'm in a good mindset to make sure he's good to go, because he's been running for a day and a half before I even get to him, right? So I can't do it for him. He's still got to do it. But I can't transfer my burden to him if I'm not ready to carry that portion for him. Does that make sense, what I'm getting at? So it's no different in godliness, okay? And this is one I want to get to. Here's your training program. Ready? Paul continues in verse 15. He says this, practice these things. So practice, there you go. Like, what are we going to practice? Talk about it in just a second. Immerse yourself in them. Immerse. We all know what that means. You got to go all in. You got to get in it so that all may see your progress. And then I love this. Keep a close watch on yourself and the teaching. Okay, so here it is. Here's your godliness training program. Throw it up for me. Number one, spiritual disciplines. Anybody heard of spiritual disciplines? This is what I want to lean into tonight. So the big ones are this. Prayer. It's got to start with prayer, right? Praise, thanks, and confession. Make sure you have a regular rhythm of praying. All right, make this a part. I know you guys all do, and I'm probably preaching to the choir. But if we just need to be reminded of it, this is part of your spiritual disciplines. This is the things that you want to lean into. The next one is read and study the Word. Why do I say read and study? Because opening the Bible and reading some words is like going to the gym and sitting on the couch. Okay, you're there. You're almost there. But you got to get on the machine. You got to start repping, right? You've got to start repping. So study the Word. Let it wrestle with you. Pull things out that you're trying to, what does this mean? What does that mean? So when you're doing your soaps, like I love that Martin has been just so intentional about driving the soap. That's the whole point of a soap. Grab one verse and go, what is this thing saying to you? Don't just read it and say, got it, good. Get into it, right? Dive into it. Worship and corporate worship. I say worship and corporate worship because I believe worship can be everywhere. But I also believe in corporate worship with your brothers and your sisters, right? So get into a rhythm of worship. And then fasting. I know that sometimes, like, well, do I need to fast this many days or that many days, or what's the point? You know, I'm not going to say this for anybody of what it should be. I'm going to encourage a rhythm of fasting. Because why do we fast? Me personally, I'm talking to me personally. Now, I will tell you, I have to get better at this. Like, I can go in and out of seasons of fasting. Where I'm like, oh, I'll do it once a week, and then I go months without doing it. Like, none of us are perfect, but it is important because whenever we get hit with something like, man, I got to pray through this, I got to process this, I got to figure out what I'm supposed to do with this. Like, man, you know what would be great? I should fast. Oh, but I don't know how. Well, if you've been on a rhythm of fasting, then you already know how to do it. And you're like, you know what? I know God wants me to pray through this, so I should take a day to fast, right? So get in a rhythm, incorporate it on some level, whatever you feel like God's leading to, but try to bring fasting into your disciplines. Now, the next one is for your training program. You got to commit to your team. Your team is the guys at your table. This is why I go back to say, you don't have to be perfect at your table. But commit to him, just like Paul said in that verse when he said, keep a close watch, I'm sorry, so that all may see your progress. Immerse yourself so that all may see your progress, right? That's being committed to your team. Be transparent. Be authentic. Be vulnerable. You don't have to have it figured out. Just let them see who you really are so that they can keep an eye on you and you're in that type of relationship, right? All right, and then the last one is, what are we putting into our bodies? This is, you would think this is common sense, but the reality is, guys, we live it. I know. I'm tested and tempted by the same things that y'all are. So we've got to keep an eye on this. Just like that last guy in the video, like, we would laugh if you're literally seeing a guy doing training while eating a whole pizza and drinking a Coke. And you're like, that's literally in and out, right? Would you call it giggo or, like, garbage in, garbage out, right? Like, that's not, like, wow, that's completely negating everything that you're doing. So the same thing happens. Like, we go here, and like, man, I'm wrestling, and I'm just really diving into the Word with my guys, and I love my guys, and my team's awesome. And then what are we doing when we get home? What are we putting into our spiritual bodies that counteracts everything that God has been doing in your life? What do we put? What are we watching? What are we listening to? What are we going to places that we shouldn't be going to? What are the things that you're putting into your body, into your mind, that are not healthy? We have to ask ourselves that, just like when Paul said that, keep a close watch on yourself and the teaching. And why? Here's the why. Because he ends with this. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. You get on a strength training or a godly training program like this, you save yourself because you get into that habit, you get into that rhythm, you get into those disciplines so that when you need to respond to a crisis, you can. When you need to overcome, when you need to lead, and when you need to endure, you're able to do so because you have been training and training and training. And the best part is your hearers are your brothers, the guys at your table, the guys that are watching you live your life that you don't even know are watching you. That's the cool part. When somebody says, Danny, or Sean, or any of the other guys that you know, they're like, hey, you actually changed my life. You didn't even know that you did anything because you were just living your life and they were here watching you. So how are we training? How are we training? Get on this godliness training program, right? All right, so with that, we're going to put up some questions, and you guys wrestle with it at your table. Let me pray us into our tables, and we got our discussion questions. Lord, thank you so much for tonight, and I thank you for these men. I pray your blessings on their tables and their discussions, and come alive, Lord, in us. Let us get on that track of discipline. Train our mind and our body in you and with you through these, through the word, through with each other at the table, and let us continue to wrestle with you. Father, we love you, and we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.